The title of the message is, In Marriage, Two Become One. And how does that happen? Well, let's go to Genesis 2 for an introduction. Genesis 2 and verse 21. In marriage, two become one. Genesis 2 and verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. So we see God created Adam from the dust of the earth, one. And from Adam, he created Eve, two. So from one came two. In verse 23, and Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall become woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So one becomes two, and in marriage two becomes one. And they shall cleave unto his wife. And the word cleave is the word 1692 in the concordance. It means to cling to adhere to. So in marriage is God's intention that the two become one flesh again. If you turn to Matthew 19 and verse 4. Matthew 19 and verse 4. Now, this is Christ speaking, and Christ says in Matthew 19 and verse 4, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? So there's only male and female. So whatever's going on today in this satanic world with transgenderism and so many genders is nonsense. Even biology teaches you that, science, that there's only male and female. And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So God hates divorce, but there are some grounds of divorce, such as fornication. And if a non-believer in a marriage were to leave the marriage. So how do we become one flesh in marriage? Well, I'm going to give 3 points on this, but as I'm giving these points, remember, this is God's way. This is God's way to have a happy marriage, to have a blissful marriage, to have a sanctified marriage. And of course, it's Satan's world today. We're not going to see much of what God's intention is. Satan has corrupted marriage. He's corrupted the family. But this is God's instructions teachings about marriage. So the first point in how we become one flesh in marriage is through the sexual union. To procreate, God made the sexual union to procreate and to develop intimacy between a man and a woman. Just as Adam and Eve were made in God's image, our children are also made in our image. Think about it, right? With characteristics from both parents. So our children have characteristics from both parents, and we have characteristics from God who created Adam and Eve. And the wife and the husband have authority over each other's bodies, as it says in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 to 5. And so it's the duty and obligation of a husband and wife to come together in the sexual union of oneness. And so that is how God says in point one, how the two become one flesh in the sexual union. And that's why the sanctity of marriage is very, very important to God, that we don't fornicate and we don't commit adultery. Second point is that way that we become one flesh is more figuratively, but the second point is by being one in terms of their love, by being one in terms of their love, and that assumes that both mates are converted. Again, that was God's wish, that the marriage, both parties would be converted, and they can have a godly marriage. But we know in today's world, we can have one converted mate, another mate that's not converted, single parent families. But God's intention was that both mates would love each other through agape love, through the Holy Spirit, and support each other with one mindset through the Holy Spirit. So this cannot be achieved without the Holy Spirit. God has given each partner in a marriage their role to make the relationship whole. If you turn to Ephesians 5 and verse 22, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, if you're not a converted woman, you're not going to really understand this or want to comply with this. But giving roles to a man and a woman, the wife is to submit themselves as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. And women lovers are not going to like to read that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So it's making these comparisons with Christ, the marriage with Christ. Marriage between a man and a woman with Christ. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. But notice verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. So you see in this arrangement, you know, if a husband's loving their wife, a wife is going to could easily submit. And if a husband's loving his wife, there's going to be harmony there. There's going to be discussion. There's going to be husband's not going to be a tyrant over, he's going to love his wife as Christ loves the church, or as even it says, as he loves himself. So husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow, that's a tall order. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. And verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A husband needs to know that his wife respects him and shows respect. And so in that type of a relationship, that's the type of roles that God gives to a man and a woman to have a successful marriage. And the third point is that husbands and wives will be one body spiritually at the marriage of the Lamb. At the marriage of the Lamb. We stay in Ephesians 5, and we go to verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And Christ lives in us, and the church is referred to as the body of Christ. For this cause shall a man leave his, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. So here he's saying, he's quoting about the marriage covenant, for this cause that was quoted in Genesis, and Christ also said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. But then he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So there's this analogy between the marriage, between a man and a woman, and the relationship of Christ and the church. Becoming one flesh in marriage is analogous to becoming one body in Christ. We in Christ and Christ in us, joining the spiritual body of the church. So if you have two converted mates, then basically they're part of the spiritual church of God. And the spiritual church is the body of Christ, and it's the bride of Christ that's going to marry Christ when Christ returns. So joining the spiritual body, the church, in marrying the Lamb at the marriage supper. So we marry the Lamb, he's the bridegroom, we're the bride. And we will be one with Jesus Christ. Just like we're supposed to be one with our mate, we're gonna be one with Christ. That's the analogy, we're marrying Christ. And we will submit and obey to Christ, and he will love us forever. Do you see the relationship? We will submit and obey, and he will love us forever. So in conclusion, so God made two from one body, Adam and Eve, and in marriage it is his intention that the two become one flesh again through the sexual union, through one mindset in terms of their love and support for each other through the Holy Spirit, and by being one body spiritually as part of the bride of Christ at the marriage of the Lamb.